7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels. Who said he was alive?" Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to enter into his glory? Did he not have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus recognized by them when he broke bread." To be continued. Amen.
This week has been an interesting week. Coming back from sabbatical. So I think I'm having senior moments at the moment because I lost my keys in Ireland. We went to Ireland. Obviously, because if you lose your keys in Ireland, you've got to be in there. And so I have to get some new keys cut. So I went to Stringers, you know, Manning Road and Stringers, to get some keys cut. But they couldn't cut all the keys. And they said, "You need to go up to Morton Crossroads to C&J, is it? Is that C&J? Yeah. So I pull out of Manning Road, and without thinking, I'm going up the A151, is it? If I'm on. And I found myself in 20. What am I doing here? Goodness sake. I was supposed to go up Meadow Drove. I thought it was a long drive up Meadow Drove. So I had to turn around. And eventually I got keys cut in Mawson. Not all of them, but anyway. So, what makes you turn around? Gone the wrong way. That's right. So it is normally...
Forgot something.
She knows me. This is my wife. So you've gone the wrong way. You've forgotten something. You have to turn around and go back. And today, is a story about two people who'd gone the wrong way. The story on the road to Emmaus. So we're starting this series on the road again. And I wonder if you can guess what I think about when I think on the road again. I think about a donkey, actually. Do you remember from Shrek? And Shrek says to Donkey, somebody's looking for a smack bottom. So we're on the road again. Our journey as Christians is a journey. No, sorry, our walk as Christians is a journey. They knew, these people, Cleopas and their, I don't know who it was, it could have been his wife, it could have been a mate. They realized they were going the wrong way. They thought that Jesus was going to be their type of savior. He was going to kick the Romans out, and he was going to put everything right, and it was all going to be great. He's going to get rid of the oppression that the Romans got, but he went and got crucified. He was dead. And of course, they knew, as we know, that dead people don't come back to life. Once you're dead, and that was it. And they were hoping that Jesus was going to change everything. They were very confused. And as Wilma read, they were further confused by the fact that somebody had said, he's alive. But I'm sorry, ladies, very sorry. This is very un-Me Too. But a woman's testimony, a woman's witness, was worth one third of a man's witness. So they didn't believe him. They didn't believe the women. They didn't believe that he'd risen from the dead. Because, one, they knew dead people don't rise. And even though Jesus had told them that he was going to rise from the dead, they didn't believe him. So they were really, really confused. So Jesus comes along and they're talking away and they look as miserable as sin. They're miserable, they're sad, they're crying. And Jesus comes up. I was laughing when Wilma was reading this, because it's like Jesus is playing with their minds, which is one of the things that as a teacher I love to do. And Jesus is playing with their minds. And he goes, why are you so miserable? Of course he knew why they were miserable. Because all their hopes, all their dreams had died on that cross. Now let me just say, the Roman soldiers were very, very, very good at crucifying people. They knew how to kill people. They were professionals in killing people. And so Jesus comes along and he says, why are you disappointed? But they were heading in the wrong direction. They were heading away from Jerusalem instead of towards Jerusalem. They were escaping, probably because they were a little bit frightened that they were going to get fitted for their own personal cross like Jesus did. Because that's what the Romans would have done. Has anybody seen the film Spartacus? I am Spartacus. No, I am Spartacus. Come on, get with the program. I'm Spartacus. So they'd all get crucified. So either they didn't believe Jesus, they certainly didn't believe the women, and Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. So clearly they didn't believe him. Even this great Messiah who they've been talking about, they didn't believe him. They didn't have faith that Jesus was telling them the truth, that he would rise from the dead. And this is the difficult thing, because it's only happened once in the whole of human history. That's why people find it very difficult to believe. Because certainly, about in 2020, my dad died. He's not going to rise from the dead. He was dead. But they didn't have faith that Jesus was going to tell them the truth. So they get to the place where they were going to stay the night. We don't know whether they'd gotten to Emmaus or not. 7 miles. What's that in kilometres? 10 kilometres? So it's about 10 kilometres. About that. So, typical Middle Eastern hospitality. They said, don't go walking along, Jesus, in the dark. Stay with us. So, he stayed with them. And the problem was that all of a sudden, when Jesus broke the bread, I don't know whether they saw the nail prints in his hands or what had happened, but suddenly they realized, heck, this is Jesus. He is alive, for goodness sake. And this was the big issue. And this is what we need as every human being needs to turn around. We need to make sense of the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, which he'd taught them on the road, if you remember. But you also need to be faced with the evidence that he is alive. We need an encounter. We need an encounter with Jesus himself. It's not enough just to be taught. Now, I'm a teacher, so, you know, I like teaching, I like communicating my immense wisdom to everybody. Like I have it. But you need the evidence. You need Jesus to... You need to see him and encounter him. He was sitting in front of them eating. Now, I don't know if you remember in John, the book of John, Jesus makes them a fish breakfast. Remember this? He cooks them breakfast, which is very nice of him. And I can just imagine, I don't know, I've got a very vivid imagination. I can just imagine them watching him as he picks up a piece of fish, and they watch it. It's like, yep, he ate it, didn't he? He's alive. He's a real human being that God the Father has brought back from the dead. This wasn't some sort of vision. This wasn't some sort of dream. It was real. He was there. We have... Is that my phone? Probably my phone. Anyway, this is important for us because we have an evidence... Now, I want young people to listen to this. We have an evidence-based faith. It's not a dream. It's not a vision. It's not anything else. It is evidence. Jesus sat in front of these guys, maybe a guy and a girl, and he was there. That's what turned them around. That's what turns us around. These two things. Understanding that Jesus had told the truth and the blindingly obvious evidence that he was alive. It is important for us to get this. And it's evidence-based. We talk about doubting Thomas. Do you remember that phrase? It's awful to call him doubting Thomas. No, Thomas wanted evidence. He was a scientist. No, he wanted, said, unless I actually poke my fingers into his hands and put my hand into his side, I won't believe it. This is what turns us around. This is what turns us round. So what will turn us round? Well, those two things. Knowing that what Jesus did makes sense in this world. He lived. He was God. He died. And he rose from the dead. This is fact. And we have evidence to back it up. It's not a philosophy. It's not an ideology. That's not what informs us. It is making sense of Jesus Christ and the blinding, obvious evidence that Jesus is alive. So just like me, when I got to 20, I had to recognize the fact I'd gone wrong. I had to turn around and I had to go back. So this is what I appeal to all of us today, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Open your mind, turn your heart to him, because it makes sense and we have evidence that Jesus is alive. Your life will therefore change completely. So if you don't want life, if you don't want your life changed, don't do this, because it's dangerous. We are not religious people, we are revolutionaries. Because we have changed our own heart and mind. Sorry, I'm getting emotional now. It's not just about self-satisfaction, success, money, sexual gratification. This will radically change you forever. But we need to be willing to do this. We need to be willing to turn around. This is what the word conversion means. Making a 180 degree turn and heading in a different direction. Because when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, that will absolutely turn you upside down, inside out. And I'm being very serious here. I joke a lot, but this death and resurrection of Jesus enriches us, radically changes us forever, for eternity. So if you want that, get on board. Get on the journey, but it's going to cost. If you're not willing to do it, I wouldn't advise it. That's what C.S. Lewis said. He said, if you want a nice, quiet life, I wouldn't recommend Christianity to you. Because it changes you, radically changes you. And that encounter with him is incredible. I don't know what else to say, actually, to be honest, because I just encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, come and see Nick, come and see me, come and see one of the leaders at this church, because it will revolutionize your life. But it's so, so worth it, because you get plugged into the source of all life. It's incredible. It's not religious. It's a revolution. Shall we pray? Lord God, I thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. We do love him so much. And not just with an emotional love, but we are so committed to him. And I thank you for that incredible encounter that Cleopas had as suddenly it was revealed to them who you were. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that we can celebrate that in the bread and the wine of communion, that we can celebrate that every day. We thank you that it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter. It just matters that we commit ourselves to you. And we bless you. And we thank you. We are just so grateful to you for doing that. Holy Spirit, help us, please. We need your help to be able to live out this life in a radical, changed way. Thank you that you came to this earth and you encountered humanity. And we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.